Sinn Féin have rolled over on welfare reform. That's the controversial claim from the Ulster Unionist leader, Mike Nesbitt. The BBC understands the much-delayed welfare bill will come before the Assembly on the 10th of February. Sinn Féin's refusal to implement the changes passed by Westminster has cost the executive more than £200 million in fines. But speaking on BBC Newsline last night, Mike Nesbitt claims Sinn Féin finally rolled over on the issue because it had backed itself into a corner.
They got themselves onto a hook, and they have managed to get themselves off the hook somehow at the Stormont House agreement. But to my mind, the somehow was by rolling over on welfare reform. And I can't understand what it was all about, because they nearly brought this entire set of institutions to their knees over something that was not necessary. We wanted to protect as far as possible people who were going to hit by welfare reform, and that has been done. And it only came to light that we were on the same page when they finally told us who it was they wanted to protect and how they wanted to do it.
Sinn Féin President Gerry Adams has hit back, maintains his party hasn't rolled over.
We're very, very clear. No one will have any benefit reduced which is under the authority of the Assembly here or of the Executive. And that was our key point on this issue. Far from rolling over, we're satisfied while there are challenges that we have remained very, very focused across the island in opposing austerity and in protecting the most vulnerable.
Well, Mike Nesbitt, the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, is with us now. In what way have they rolled over, Mike?
Stephen, if I had a penny for every time Sinn Féin said they were not going to implement welfare reform and the five parties of the executive should stand up to David Cameron and say we're not doing it and give us more money, I could sponsor welfare reform. But the fact is, as you have said, the welfare reform bill is about to come before the Assembly. So that's the evidence. They have rolled over. Welfare reform will happen. But the issue...
Have you seen the bill in its final form?
No, of course I haven't seen the bill in the final form, but I sat...
How do you know they've rolled over then?
I sat at the table in Stormont House with Sinn Féin as we all put our hands up to the Stormont House agreement, which includes welfare reform. The evidence is already in black and white, Stephen.
But
do you know what? The issue isn't whether Sinn Féin can grab the verbal fig leaf that allows them to say they didn't roll over on welfare reform when they did. The issue is that we're getting on with this and we're now stopping wasting valuable money. The £200 million that you mentioned in your introduction, quite unnecessary fines being imposed by the Treasury because we were sitting on our hands instead of getting on with what we
are actually
paid to do, which is to govern.
There's a fundamental issue at the heart of this, and time will tell. You've just heard the Sinn Féin president, Gerry Adams, make a promise that Conor Murphy made on this show. So they've reiterated it. They're not going back. No one will be worse off as a result of welfare reform. It is a public promise from Sinn Féin.
And that is a promise, and will they be able to deliver on that promise?
Well, you tell me.
You ask them, because I don't think that that is right. I think that that is an aspiration. And let me say, I would join with Sinn Féin and the other parties in saying, I want to protect the vulnerable. I believe in the welfare state.
No, it's not as broad as that, Mike. They're giving a guarantee that no individual
will
be affected,
out.
Will lose out.
Okay.
Currently on benefits.
Well, here's my question to them on that. Are these protections that we're putting in place that we have all agreed in principle in the heads of agreement, that is the Stormont House Agreement, does that cover existing claimants and new claimants, or does it only cover existing claimants? I believe it's the latter. And in that case, new claimants will be worse off.
And do you think the £70 million fund that has been set aside to mitigate some of the losses that people who would endure because of welfare reform, do you think that will cover existing claimants?
I think that will cover existing claimants. I think in financial year 15-16 that we are about to enter.
What about the next year?
Well, Stephen, first of all, in 15-16, I think 70 million will more than cover it. I think we will have significant change from the 70 million, from the figures that were presented by the Department of Social Development officials at the Stormont House talks. The figure will go up. The figure will peak somewhere around financial year 18-19. And the other thing is that I think these packages that we're putting together, the so-called supplementary fund, runs out around 2021. So, again, a question to Sinn Féin, to Gerry Adams and the rest. When you say nobody will be worse off, is that promise time-limited? Does that run out in 2021? So there are two questions.
Well, let's just remind ourselves, Mike, and we can remind you too, what Conor Murphy said on the Nolan Show before Christmas.
What we have done is ensured that those who suffer as a consequence of the changes being brought in terms of welfare will then be picked up by a system that we develop ourselves to ensure that no one loses out.
So can you guarantee that for those people currently on a benefit system which will change, none of them will be worse off and no new entrant into the benefit system will be worse off than they would have been last week?
We have agreed a whole range of changes and a range of measures that the executive parties, through our own resources, will pick up. And that is certainly the intention that we, those who would, and there are a number of people who would lose out, there are a number of people who would be better off in terms of some of the changes that have been put forward, but there are a number who would lose out, and that we ensure that those people don't, in fact, lose out, that they are maintained at what level they have.
We will ensure that those people will not lose out. It's crystal clear, Mike.
But there were other words he said there, Stephen, which are at least as equally telling as the ones you picked out. It is certainly our intention, he said. Certainly our intention. There's wriggle room there, Stephen. There are questions, and I've given you two of them.
Well, there's no wriggle room from the Gerry Adams statement.
No, well, I wish he was on the radio because I would ask him, what happens after 2021? What happens to new claimants? These are big issues. How can you possibly say without any doubt whatsoever that no one, not one single citizen, will lose out? I don't want citizens to lose out. Yep. The Ulster Unionist Party, and in fairness, you played the clip, we challenged them during those negotiations before Christmas on three issues. Number one, who do you want to protect? Number two, how do you want to do it? And number three, what will it cost? And when they finally, after 2 years of sitting on their hands, produced the list, we were able to break the logjam and move on.
Let's remind ourselves what Gerry Adams said.
We're very, very clear. No one will have any benefit reduced which is under the authority of the Assembly here or of the Executive. And that was our key point on this issue. Far from rolling over, we're satisfied while there are challenges that we have remained very, very focused across the island in opposing austerity and in protecting the most vulnerable.
No one, he says. It's crystal clear from Gerry Adams. No one.
I haven't seen the legislation. How can we be sure until the legislation has passed through the floor of the Assembly? It is a verbal fig leaf for Sinn Féin. Another key question, Stephen, surely, is if they are now content, why couldn't they have been content 2 years ago? Why did we have to waste £200 million that should be in the pockets of the citizens of Northern Ireland, but instead we're taken
okay.
back by the Treasury?
Well, let's just nail your position rather than we can scrutinise Sinn Féin's position, of course, but let's nail yours too. So are you saying existing claimants, some will be worse off next year?
No, we signed up to a heads of agreement that said that the intention was to make sure that nobody was going to be worse off and that we would pay for that out of the block grant because the cost is tens of millions.
What about new claimants next year?
New claimants, as I understand it from the Stormont House agreement, will not be included, but let's wait and see where the legislation is.
Okay, but your understanding is that new claimants will be worse off, is that right?
That is my understanding from what came out of that agreement, but what came out of the agreement has to be put into draft legislation and that will be the key.
What about existing claimants after next year? Is it the Ulster Unionist Party's view that some might may be worse off?
No. I think that the ameliorations, the protections that were intended to be put in, and again, we wait to see the legislation, that they will be in place until the year 2021. The question mark is what happens after that. But after all, that's a long way away, and we'll be through two Assembly elections before we get to that.
It doesn't sound much of a rollover if you're protecting people to 2021.
The rollover,
it's a pretty firm commitment.
They didn't want to do it at all. They didn't want to do it. They wanted the five parties to go to Downing Street and say to David Cameron, we're not doing this. You look at that £2 billion package, you tell me 50p of that money that David Cameron has given us for welfare reform, because I can't find it. Not a penny, Stephen.
By By the way, this £200 million figure that you're quoting, £114 million of it might be clawed back.
No, there's no way we'll get the £114 back. The best we can hope to do is get this legislation through before the end of this financial year, in which case a proportion of the £114 million will come back. So if we were able to get it through halfway through the year, half the £114 will be saved. We'll save a quarter if it's in the last 3 months of the financial year.
Sinn Féin are tweeting this morning. They've just tweeted this in the last minute or so, and they've copied me in. They say, in Newcomb, Mike Nesbitt was for welfare cuts. The Ulster Unionist Party voted for it in the Assembly in 2012. Then in 2014 said he'd vote against it.
I'm the leader now, and I'm taking the position that I want welfare reform, because I think, apart from anything else, it's incredibly complicated. I think an awful lot of people who are entitled to benefits aren't claiming them because the system is so complicated. I also believe that working should pay. If you can work, you should be better off in employment than on welfare. You should be better off and just have better well-being, waking up in the morning with something to do with your life, some sort of proper sense of purpose. So I am for welfare reform, but I'm also for protecting the vulnerable. I'm not for saying, take £114 million out of our block grant that we cannot afford because we're sitting on our hands because parties are refusing to get on and govern taking tough decisions.
Do you think people should be forced to join work programmes in order to get their benefits?
I don't like that language. I don't think people should be forced. I think people should be encouraged. I think people should be given a vision, Stephen, that says when you wake up in the morning, you're better off, as you and I are, saying, I've got to get on with things, the things that I want to do, rather than waking up with nothing to do but to claim benefits.
So
I don't see that as a really fulfilling life. I don't see that as a life that's going to add to your mental health and well-being.
So you've never thought that people should be forced to go on work programs to get benefits?
No. Why would you ask that question? Who put that in your mind?
Who put that in my mind?
Was that another tweet for Sinn Féin? Why are they tweeting? Why are they not on the Nolan Show?
Well, actually, you've got that wrong. I'm not reading anything that Sinn Féin's written. I'm reading the manifesto that you signed up to.
You just said Sinn Féin have issued a tweet.
That you signed up to in 2010.
Did you not say Sinn Féin have
that
issued
was on
a tweet?
That was on the previous matter. On this question,
well, where
that
are
I,
they? Why are they not on the Nolan
on
Show?
On this why question that I just asked you,
well, okay,
your UKOMF manifesto that you signed up to in 2010, and you've just made it clear that you didn't know this, but anyone on Job Seekers Alliance who refuses to join the work programme will lose the right to claim out-of-work benefits until they do. Have you changed your mind on that?
No, but that's you're spinning that into people who are going to be forced to do things.
Anyone on Job Seekers Alliance who refuses to join the work programme will lose the right to claim out-of-work benefits until they do. Is that still your position?
I actually think that is not an unreasonable position to take, Steve.
So that's still your position? So people would be forced to join work programmes?
Listen to the news that preceded your programme. Wages are down 4.7%. What about the working poor, Stephen? What about people who go out and put in 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 hours a week to look after their families?
Okay.
Do they not deserve a bit of focus?
I'm trying to establish here what you stand for. That's all I'm trying to do. People who refuse reasonable job offers, should they lose their benefits?
I think there should be a penalty if there is a reasonable job offer and you are refusing to take it and you can't come up with a reasonable reason why you're not going to take it. Yeah, why not?
For how long?
The people who are paying the taxes.
For how long?
Well, I think people will very quickly realise that they're adopting a very unreasonable position. But anyway, you're moving way off the subject.
Well, I'm trying to know what
you're refusing to answer to me. Why is it? Because I hear you do this every day.
I'm trying to establish
Sinn Féin on the Nolan Show.
Well,
you're reading out tweets from them. Where are Sinn Féin?
They've declined to come on. Sinn Féin have said they're not coming on.
Oh. Well, why didn't you say that? Why do I have to ask you 10 times to squeeze that information out of you?
I don't think you've squeezed anything out of me. people who refuse to accept reasonable job offers could forfeit their benefits for up to 3 years, was your position in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Would that still be your position?
No, because we haven't written our manifesto yet. So I'm not going to commit myself before we write our manifesto for the 7th of May.
Okay.
But what I'm saying to you is, Sinn Féin have rolled over. The evidence is that the bill's on its way to the floor of the Assembly, but the important important thing is not whether Sinn Féin can say we did or did not roll over. The important thing is that we're getting on with governance.
There's clearly, in the context of the public has been told there has been an agreement, the Stormont House agreement on this, there is clearly evidence of a dispute as to what has been agreed and what hasn't been agreed and what promises the public can be given.
Yeah.
Now, what about the 20,000 public sector job cuts that, for example, the finance minister, Simon Hamilton, has said is coming, and Sinn Féin have said that there's no way they're tolerating? What's your position on that?
I haven't heard that, actually. Sinn Féin say they won't tolerate 20,000 job cuts.
Well, let's hear what John O'Dowd said on the Nolan Show a few
weeks ago. It would not be our intention to create any circumstances where we lose 20,000 jobs in the public sector.
So what would a closer figure be? 15,000?
10,000? No, hold on. I'm not going to put a figure on what is acceptable or isn't acceptable. We are trying to retain public services. We are trying to invest as much money as we can get our hands on into public services.
You're saying that the 20,000 figure isn't a figure that you would envisage seeing job losses, no. that number of jobs. You're not prepared to say what number it might be, but people listening to this will say that two parties who have signed up to the same deal actually have two different interpretations of it.
No, there may well be two different interpretations of it.
What do you read into that, Mike?
I hadn't heard that, Stephen. That puzzles me because, you know, I not only took part in the Stormont House negotiations before Christmas, I'm taking part in the weekly meetings of the party leaders, and the voluntary exit scheme is progressing. And I don't think I'm breaking any confidence by saying that 20,000 is the number. Public sector, not just civil servant jobs.
Sinn Féin say they're not going to tolerate it.
That is absolutely news to me. But I have not either before Christmas down at Stormont House or since then, in the implementation phase, sat down opposite John O'Dowd representing Sinn Féin. Others have been at the table representing Sinn Féin, and nobody from Sinn Féin has said we will not tolerate 20,000 redundancies. In fact, I would go as far as saying quite the opposite. So, you know, the implementation is...
What do you mean quite the opposite?
The opposite of saying we will not tolerate it is we will tolerate it.
Well, are there two Stormont House agreements here?
Well, the danger is that what we agreed at Stormont House was a heads of agreement across a number of categories, like welfare reform, like reforming the public or rebalancing the economy. And what you have here is a head of agreement that says we will have a voluntary exit scheme. But how you actually give effect to that is open to interpretation. If it's 20,000 jobs, then you have to say, over what period of time do we want to see the 20,000 jobs? And roughly it's over the next four financial years. You then, and this is the key detail, Stephen, I think, you have to say to yourself, who is it that we want to go? What type of person? You know, do we want very senior civil servants to go? Do we want people who are just in the door to go? And this is important because if you're a senior civil servant, it would be reasonable to assume you might have clocked up 30 years. So you would have a lot of entitlements. You'd be at the higher end in terms of your salary. So the package you would get for a voluntary exit scheme would be particularly high. If you're just in the door, you wouldn't be expecting that much money. But what's the incentive? You know, if you're 57 or 58 and there's a really good package, I think it would be very tempting to go because you're basically retiring maybe one or two years early and you can afford it. If you're 22, you've only got 2 years up, you're not earning a lot of money, you look at the private sector and you say there aren't the jobs there. And the package isn't going to keep me going from age 22 to 60 or 65. So I want to know how many of these kind of lower grade, not long in the civil service numbers are we looking for? Because I question whether the right number of people will volunteer. And if they don't volunteer...
Compulsory redundancies.
No, absolutely. Well, Ulster Unionists will not support compulsory redundancies. And you can record that and quote that back to me. We will not support compulsory redundancies, particularly at a time when the private sector does not have the capacity to absorb people coming out of the public sector.
Just one final question when we're looking at all of the different party positions on all the different issues around welfare, Mike. David Cameron has proposed lowering the benefits cap if he wins the next election from 26,000 to 23,000. Would you support that?
Well, we sent you a statement yesterday on that, Stephen, and I suppose the principle of it is, as I previously said, working should always pay. If you can work, if you're capable of working and there are jobs there for you, you should be better off in employment than on benefits. Benefits are there for the vulnerable.
So UKIP MLA David McNary said he would support it being reduced to 23,000. Well, would you?
No, only within a package. And the package means that we have to get serious about job creation. We have to get serious about mental health and well-being so people are in the right frame of mind and have got the capacity to come off welfare. And also social housing is a big issue because a lot of people are suffering here, Stephen, because they're paying private sector rent. And that's killing them, as childcare costs are killing them. So it's not as simple as focusing just on welfare, on a welfare cap. It has to be amongst a whole package of things, including childcare, including what people have to pay for rent and the other unavoidable costs in their lives.
Would you agree that there is confusion around what has been agreed at the Stormont House Agreement?
Yes. Yes, I would. And I would go further and I would say because it is a heads of agreement, there is a great danger that it could unravel. And it is up to the five parties who put their hand up on the 23rd of December, in my opinion, to focus on implementing what we agreed rather than trying to renegotiate as we bring forward the legislation.
Why do you say there's a danger the Stormont House Agreement could unravel?
Because you've got five parties who agreed to a heads of agreement. If they do not focus on giving meaning and implementation to that, but focus instead on trying to renegotiate and get back into the document bits and pieces that they couldn't get in on the 23rd of December.
They're not renegotiating it. They're not renegotiating if the detail isn't clear.
They could be renegotiating it. I'm not going to go into the detail, but I have at least two examples of parties who signed up to the Stormont House Agreement who are now trying to get into that agreement proposals which were rejected. And if we go down that road, there is a huge danger it will unravel. Let us be honest to the spirit of what we agreed and implement that.
OK, Mike Nesbitt, thank you very much indeed. We've now asked Sinn Féin on two occasions to come onto this programme to talk about welfare reform and job cuts, and they have refused to do so on two occasions. So the very public questions to Sinn Féin this morning on this. You've the breaking news this morning, and that is a news story. The Ulster Unionist Party leader, Mike Nesbitt, has just told this programme that there is a huge danger of the Stormont House Agreement unravelling. Now, you will remember before Christmas how important some of these parties said it was to actually get agreement. And now he is saying there is a danger of it unravelling, and he has said there is confusion as to what has been agreed or not, which is why you, the public, need to hear from these political parties. What have they agreed? What haven't they agreed? Sinn Féin, they say 20,000 job cuts in the public sector, they're not accepting. The finance minister from the DUP says 20,000 job cuts is what is happening. Gerry Adams, Conor Murphy, in terms of the changes to welfare reform, says not one citizen in this country will be adversely affected. They will guarantee it. They will protect people against it. Other political parties saying it's not possible. We couldn't do it. And does that apply to existing claimants? Does it apply to new claimants? All of this detail clearly not agreed within the Stormont House Agreement. 08459 555 678 if you're picking up the phone this morning.